Good afternoon and welcome back to the Better Living Radio program. My name is Peter Lewis and I'm pleased to be able to join you at home or in your car or in your place of business. Today, once again, we have a very special guest, Professor Dr. Walter Feith from South Africa. He's now an evangelist and preaching the Word of God. You know, this is a health program indeed, and sometimes our listeners might wonder, health and Bible, you know, the reality of it is that God desires to give us not just temporal life, a higher quality of life in this world, but He desires to give us eternal life. So we try to present the whole package addressed in the physical, mental, and spiritual. The Bible says in 1 John, 3 John 3, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. So we're going to continue our presentation, and we'd like to welcome you, Professor Dr. Feith.
Thank you.
We appreciate you joining us today once more. As we've been talking about the Bible and prophecy, we'd like to open with the scripture in Revelation chapter 14, in which the Bible says, If any man worship the beast and his image, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Now clearly this text indicates that whosoever worship the beast and his image and receive his mark will be lost.
That's right.
So the question for us to understand then, what is the beast? What is its mark? And how do we avoid these things here? Previous program, we identified the beast. Could you tell us once again what the beast is?
Well, as Daniel says in Daniel chapter 7, the beast is a political system. And in Daniel chapter 7, you have this little horn power, which is also a political system, but this one is different, that it's a religio-political system because it legislates on religious matters. It speaks against the Most High, it is involved with the saints of the Most High, and that it persecuted them in the past, will persecute them in the future according to the biblical prophecy.
Hmm.
So the Reformers identified it as the papal system.
Okay. The papal system.
That's what the Reformation said, and as I said yesterday, they put it in stone above the town hall in Nuremberg, so that nobody should forget what their interpretation was.
Do the people in Germany still remember who the beast is, according to the Reformers and Bible prophecy?
Well, the Synod of the Lutheran Church has officially recently rescinded the idea that the Pope should be Antichrist. So the official teaching now no longer reflects what is on the town hall.
Hmm. They have not removed that engraving.
No, it's not an engraving. It's a complete statue, a complete relief on top of the two entrances.
Wow. You know, when we think about the mark of the beast, we've identified the beast as the Roman Catholicism or the papal system. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 speaks about the man of sin sitteth in the temple of God, showed himself that he is God or that is worship. Who opposed and exalted himself against all that is called God. So are we talking about the same system here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2?
We're talking about the same system because here you have a system that takes the place of God.
Hmm.
This is a system that says you will be saved only through the absolution of a priest. And so you have the system of the priesthood replacing direct access to Christ. It's taking the place of God. It replaces Christ as the only mediator with the system.
So now, what is the mark that this system, which is the beast system of Bible prophecy, what is the mark of the beast?
Well, the only way to find out what the mark of the beast is to ask the political system itself, the religio-political system, what is your mark?
Mm.
They have emphatically stated that their mark of authority is that they changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. Now this was an issue even at the beginning of the Reformation at the Council of Trent, because Council of Trent resolved that Roman Catholicism would not fall in line with the Reformation plea for the Bible and the Bible alone, because they argued, it was the Archbishop of Reggio that argued thus at the Council of Trent, that the Reformation didn't honor the Bible Sabbath, but followed the dictates and authority of the Church in this matter, and therefore they had the right to say that their tradition was paramount determining what Scripture was to say or not to say.
So the system itself has identified its mark of authority as it's proven and shown that it has power to change divine laws to, and in this case they've changed the commandments, the fourth commandment, to the from Saturday the seventh day,
yes,
to Sunday the first day.
They themselves say this is our mark of authority. Now the reason why it has to be like that, if you want to attack the mark of authority, because Sabbath is the mark of authority of God.
Okay.
Without the Sabbath commandments, the entire Ten Commandments could be from anyone and would have no authority. In the Sabbath commandments, we have the name of the lawgiver, his jurisdiction, and this gives it the authority that he is the one who has the right to make the law entire Decalogue. If you attack the law of authority and replace it with your own authority, then it's irrespective of the rest of the laws, but who has the authority making the law? Now, the Roman Catholic Church claims that it has the authority to determine who shall obey which laws, and it supersedes the authority of God.
Wow. Now, besides that commandment, which we're talking about the mark of the beast, which is the mark of the Roman system's authority, is Sunday sacredness.
That is their own definition. In fact, the recent webpage on the Roman Catholic webpage on Mary Online stated emphatically that this challenge still exists, and to not acknowledge Sunday is a denial of Roman Catholic authority. And they emphatically say that biblical Sabbath, seventh day, is unchanged Sabbath. And the fact that they changed it shows their right authority.
Now, today we know Christians of all kinds, some of which are innocent, but they come up with all kind of reasons for worshiping on Sunday. And but the reality is, it seems like they have not gone far enough to see the real reason why they worship on Sunday.
Well, they could just have a look at the Augsburg Confession, which clearly says that the Sabbath is Saturday. But because of the complications that occurred and the entrenchment of the day as it was, they opted for keeping the Sunday. But they openly acknowledged that this is contrary to the law of God. So Protestantism from its very inception realized that the true day of worship was the Sabbath. Any other rationalization of day is pure conjecture and is not based on any biblical foundation.
Now, something else was done to the commandments in regard to the system, because within the system we find that there are lots of idol worshiping or image worshiping and relics and so on and so forth. What was done to the commandment elsewhere?
Well, the second commandment, which forbids the worship of idols, has been removed. And just a cursory glance at any Roman Catholic catechism will show you that the second commandment has been removed, that the fourth commandment has been switched from the seventh day to the first day, and the tenth commandment, in order to get ten back if the second one is gone, has been divided into two. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods, whereas in the Bible it is one commandment, thou shalt not covet.
So, in other words, they have dropped one of God's commandments, the second commandment, and divide the tenth one into two to get back a total of ten.
That's correct.
That's rather clever, and it doesn't seem like Christians nowadays remember that, because we see all denominations going back home to Rome, which we talked about previously.
That's correct. They have their own set of rules, contrary to the law of God.
Naturally, if I come to a city and I change the laws of the city, then I exert a higher authority than the legislative body of that city.
Yes, that's correct.
And
he who has the right to change the law is obviously higher than the one who made the law.
Now, hence we have this warning in the Bible. Now, we're talking about the mark of the beast now. So we're saying that Sunday worship is the mark of the beast. So does it mean that...
It's not so much a question of the day as a question of whose authority do you accept.
Okay.
It happens just incidentally to be linked to a day.
Okay. So it's a matter of authority.
It's a matter of authority. Whose authority do you accept? Who is the authoritative individual who made the Decalogue and who you are subject to? And
okay.
You have to do nothing other than keep the Sabbath to acknowledge the supremacy of the God of heaven.
Okay. So the issue in the last days is what?
The issue is?
The issue, what is the controversy over in the last days centered around...
It's a controversy of authority.
Of authority.
That's what it is. It's a controversy of authority. Who has authority over my life?
And who...
Is it the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, the only mediator and the only advocate? Or is it the church who places itself between the mediator and says, no, I am the mediator, I am the one that absolves, I am the one that forgives, I am the one, and God has subscribed to my position. That is another quote from a Roman Catholic source, where God himself has to oblige by whatever priesthood to take.
Wow, that is amazing. Why is it with these statements coming from the pen of Roman Catholicism, why are Christians so passive as though, Roman Catholicism is just another regular Christian body?
I think it's because they are largely uninformed. I think it's that people over the eons have tried to excuse their variation, their deviation from the plain, thus says the Lord, and tried to rationalize their movement so that in the end, they would not have to change, because this has been entrenched in Christian thinking over decades and millennia.
Now, so we identify Sunday worship as the mark of the beast. Now, does it mean that people now worshiping on Sunday have the mark of the beast?
Absolutely not, because it's a question of accepting the authority of God. Only when this issue is driven to the fore and you are challenged to accept either the other or the other, then it is that by your conscience you have to make a conscious decision, I will accept this or that alternative. Whose authority is going paramount in my life? That of a certain man or that of God? Only when that decision is brought to the front by fiat legislation, when the mark is forced, then you will receive the mark of peace if you do not accept that which God has said, as opposed to what man has said.
So there's coming a time in this nation and in the world, according to Bible prophecy, where worship will be legislated, and Sunday worship will be legislated to the point where those who refuse to worship on Sunday will be persecuted, and those who assume the biblical position and worship on Sabbath, the seventh day, will indeed feel the iron hand of persecution.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that the present Pope has specifically lifted up the Sunday as something that has to be honored and reinstated in its original position.
We want to say this at this point, that we're not against Roman Catholic people.
Of course not.
Because there are many innocent, wonderful, God-fearing Christians, not only in the Roman Catholic communion, but also in every denomination. And we also have devils in all denominations posing as Christians. So it's not against an individual.
Absolutely right.
It's not against an individual.
No. But when I was a Roman Catholic, and when I was confronted with the change of God's law, and I compared the Bible with the catechism book, I actually consulted with a Roman Catholic priest who was not able or not willing to even discuss the issue, saying that the authority of the church is paramount. We don't need scripture at all.
Wow.
That stunned me.
Are you familiar with the Ten Commandments Day rally that's coming up in February 5th?
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit and how that relates to what we're talking about?
Are you talking about the issue about the Ten Commandments on the courthouses, those issues, and the rally for reinstating the Ten Commandments back?
Yes.
To the system and legislative system?
Yes, sir.
Well, whose Ten Commandments is it going to be? That is the question we have to ask ourselves. If we are talking about getting the law of God back into the position where it should be, then that's fine, but that's not what it's about. It is the law as entrenched in the minds of people that we're talking about at the moment. So Sabbath to them is Sunday. Sabbath to them is not the seventh day.
Okay. So there's a movement which it is told that this is the largest movement in the history of America and perhaps the world to move the commandments of God back into the public places and no doubt to the beginning of a movement to elevate Sunday as a Sunday Sabbath.
Oh, that's exactly what the outcome will be. And remember that the papacy has asked that every nation in the world should see to it that Sunday be legislated. The previous pope wrote that in famous encyclical Dominus and asked that every nation reinstate Sunday by legislation as a right, a worker's right, state guarantee. And Pope John Paul apparently went further to say that people who violate Sunday should be punished as heretics.
Now, for our listeners out there, I know this has been much harder to handle, and, you know, I hate to have to offend someone, and it's not our intent to offend someone. Are we to obey the Word of God in proclaiming this message of Revelation chapter 14, or should we, because of fear to offend someone, keep the book closed? And what will be the consequence if we keep the book closed that God told us that every nation, kindred, and tongue must hear this message?
If you knew that something was coming that was very dangerous, if you knew there was a tsunami coming, if you knew there was a hurricane coming, would it be kind not to warn people of what was coming and what the consequence would be of not obeying the injunction? Would it be kind?
No, it would not be kind.
No, it wouldn't even be in accordance with the principles of love, would it?
No, sir.
So it's not being judgmental, it's not being harsh, it's just stating the fact. This is as it is, this is what will happen. Mm-hmm. And the final clash will be about authority of God.
Where can the listener find more information? Can they visit your website?
Yes, they can. AmazingDiscoveries.org.
AmazingDiscoveries.org. You're currently doing a series of meetings, and the listeners can tune in to AmazingDiscoveries.org and listen to your presentation coming from Chattanooga, Tennessee, or they can actually order or download information from your website. Our time is expired, and we'd like to say thank you, Professor Dr. Feit, for joining with us here at this time. And to our listeners out there, let me say that it is not our intent to get you upset. It is far from it. I love each one of my listeners, and you've been listening to this radio program, but it would be far from love to avoid sharing with you at some point in time the plainest Bible teaching and with the greatest consequence, because the Bible says if any man worship the beast or his image, they are going to drink of the wine of the wrath which is poured out without mercy, which is the seven last plagues. Thank you. If you want a copy of the book, Great Controversy, call 731-584-2670. You get a free copy of the book, or visit your near library and research these information. Thank you very much, and may God bless you.